Scott Clapson here on KCIW. You are listening to The Community Organizer. I'm here today with Paul Carlin from Pelican Bay Amateur Radio Club. How are you, Paul?
Just fine, Scott.
Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having us. We always look forward to getting out there in front of the public.
Yeah, well, what you all do is amazing. You meet at the Activity Center sometimes for your emergency radio meetings. And so I've gotten little like side views in as a non-member of the club, kind of to some of the stuff that you all are involved in. And it's really cool.
Well, you're always welcome to just come by and stop in and say hello. But we meet on Fridays, the last Friday of the month at 6:30 p.m. in the downstairs of the CHETCO Activity Center. And it's just thanking you so much for letting us have such a wonderful place to meet.
Oh, yeah. No, you're absolutely welcome. We like making a space available. And that's the last Friday at 6:30?
So last Friday at 6:30.
And anybody can just come. They don't have to.
They don't have to come, but, you know, you may be asked to join if you're a ham radio operator.
Oh, that's cool. Very cool. So what exactly is Pelican Bay Amateur Radio Club? What do you all do?
Well, we're a nonprofit 501(c), and what we like to do is promote amateur radio in the community. We also have an ARES group, an Amateur Radio Emergency Services group through the ARRL, and we work with the county emergency manager, Don Kendall, to provide, hopefully never, primary or secondary communications in a disaster.
Oh, that's very cool. So what kind of disaster, maybe?
Well, like Cascadia Rising is a drill that's coming up for 4 days that we're going to participate in, and we are training now to send digital messages in. Most sailors recognize PACTOR. PACTOR is a digital mode that we use. We're also setting up emergency radios in fire departments. We set up a fire department in Harbor and Windchuck are the two. And basically, we put a radio in there at the suggestion of the fire chiefs. And we have, of course, radios in the EOC here at Brookings, along with the EOC that's up in Gold Beach. And we are getting prepared to transfer communications from here to Salem or even to Port Orford.
What, for our listeners, is the EOC? Because some of our listeners may not be familiar with
that. It's the Emergency Operations Center.
For the city of Brookings.
Well, there's one for the city of Brookings and there's one for the county of Curry that's in Gold Beach.
Okay.
And we have access to both those locations at this point.
Oh, wow. So it's not just some people getting together and working on radios for themselves. There's a whole plan of communication if our infrastructure for communication goes down for us to be able to stay in contact.
Yes, indeed. In fact, the Red Cross, we have a MOU, Memorandum of Understanding that we have with the Red Cross through the ARRL that allows us to send messages on health and welfare back and forth. So if we were cut off, for example, and there was no phone service, we could essentially take a message short, you know, 25 or 30 words altogether, send it over the radio to another ham, and that ham would then send it to that location where the relatives were and deliver it or call them on the phone and let them know everything was okay here.
Oh, wow. So this is all, you all are kind of rehearsing these things then in the event of this to be prepared. So when it does happen, we all can stay in contact. That's really cool.
Well, we're trying. We just started the ARES group here. We restarted it. It had gone away. And we just started redoing it and putting radios into the firehouses in Windchuck and Harbor and here so that we could use them in the event of a disaster. So that we're also trying to incorporate some of the FRS frequencies for the members of CERT when they go out and start looking around at the disaster and the fallen buildings and things, helping the fire department and the county recover, then we can use those radios and we'll be able to bring those frequencies into our system and retransmit them on the ham bands and then use the PACTOR or digital mode to type a message to send to wherever we need to send it.
And you've just used a couple of acronyms, FR something?
Family Radio Service, which is a non-licensed radio service. You find them at Bi-Mart and a few other places where you can go in and buy two small handheld radios that work on 440 or 454 or somewhere in that range. And you use them when you go out hunting or camping or something like that, and you talk to your partner back and forth.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. so that the CERT teams can have radio communications if they're going into a building.
Yeah.
They're going to look for people. They can call out and say, we need help in here, rather than leave that person, come back out, get more help, go back in, and stop some of the redundancies that happen in those kind of circumstances.
And also CERT teams. So could you explain for our listeners what...
Civilian emergency management teams, I think. I may be wrong with that. CERT, resource teams, I think. Anyway, they are trained by the county. They had a class not long ago up at the community college mm-hmm. here, and we had about 25 or 30 people in that class.
Oh, wow.
There's a drill at the end where you take it's like a test where you mm-hmm. learn how to carry people out of a building with rubble. You learn how to put out a fire. And it's not only if you're, it's really a good thing if you're just an individual and you're trying to take care of your family. The CERT class is a real plus. You can get information on the CERT class by calling the Department of Emergency Services here in Gold Beach and ask for Don Kendall or Beth Hidalgo. She's also part of that.
It's very exciting. I've wanted to actually get involved with that myself, but every time it comes up, I have something else going on those weekends because it's quite intensive. It's like a three-weekend
It's a three-weekend course, class, yeah. And it is pretty, if you're interested, it's really something to get into because mm-hmm. you never know when it's going to happen or if it's going to. I hope never.
Right.
But when it happens, you know, things like food and water, you're going to be on your own for weeks, especially this part of the world down here in southern mm-hmm. Curry County and Del Norte County, too.
Yeah.
We're also working with the Del Norte County Aries Group and the radio club down there.
Oh, so some cross-border collaboration.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely imperative that you work with the people that are around right. you because nobody else is coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I've kind of got a feeling that I hear rumors of how long we're going to be cut off, but I think people don't realize that, well, just look at the rains this season and the slides that it created and how many places the road washed out. Think about that. If there's a 8 or 9.0 earthquake and then some tsunamis start hitting, local tsunamis, right, yeah. start hitting the coast, it's going to pummel our coast and we're all going to have a lot of different spots that are going to be cut off and it's not going to just be quite so easy to get trucks of, because there's going to be lots of trucks of rock and dirt needed.
Well, not only that, spaces. But the trees and the fire, right. Telephone poles and things that'll mm-hmm. be blown down into the streets. I saw a really brilliant idea that people are doing up in Portland or Seattle. I saw it on the news. They're building these bicycles that have weight carrying capabilities. They're pipes, mm-hmm. Platforms built onto the bicycles. And they drive them around and they can load water onto the platforms and drive water around the community if there's a disaster. And that is really a great idea. You should get there's all kinds of things we have to do, like mm-hmm. get the bicycle clubs involved in putting right. together a couple of those bikes.
Yeah.
So that we can get water and food to the older folks that are living here in Brookings.
Mm-hmm. Well, rain catchment tanks too are one of the things I've thought about is as we're doing gardens and different things. And I know people say there's laws about harnessing rainwater and things, but that doesn't mean that we can't have the infrastructure in place to harness the rainwater in the event of this, because I don't think it's going to matter what the laws are when we don't have a water supply that might be so easy with the infrastructure falling apart, where mm-hmm. everybody could have, you know, rain barrels where they collect the rainwater that they need. They do it in other parts of the world. Why not here?
So. Well, if anybody's ever stood in a line waiting for a water truck, they all really like the idea of having a catch basin in their home.
Yeah. Oh,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yes, I guarantee it to you.
Yeah. We need a sustainable water club here now.
That's right. That's right.
Let's start one, Paul.
We'll get one going. Yeah, that's right. That's a good idea.
So speaking of like community collaborations and things, I know that you all have talked about putting in a radio here at the Chetco Activity Center.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell us some of the other locations that you have?
We have a radio currently at the community college, and that's got a nice antenna on the roof, and we can talk all over southern Curry County with that. But there's a bridge between here and the college. So in an event of an earthquake or something like that, where the bridge falls down, God forbid, then we have a group of people that are in Cape Ferrillo that can go to the college and utilize their radio. We also have a person that's been trained at the college to use the radio. So okay. they have communication out of that area. Then we have here, obviously, the Brookings EOC. We have people that are assigned to go to the EOC here outside the police department and use those radios and talk to everybody in Curry County here also, and Port Orford and up north in the county. We also have a person at St. Timothy's. We have two or three people at St. Timothy's, and that has an HF and a VHF capability, and along with digital communications at St. Timothy's. Then we go down to the Harbor Fire Department, and we're just now talking to the chief down there to get radios installed, and he's all for it. He wants to get a radio or two installed there, and we will provide him with a couple of 2-meter radios in there so that he can use them in his area, because there's another bridge there. And then as you go past that, you go down to the Windchuck, there's another bridge there,
mm-hmm.
and we have putting antennas and radios into that fire station. So hopefully we're going to have fire. The entire Curry County here is what our goal is to get everybody with a radio and communications in case of an emergency. And that's really the key. As I said before, we're looking at putting a radio all the way through to Josephine and Coos County also, so that we can communicate with our two neighbors. I guess there's three neighbors in there.
Right.
Well, we'll do the third one, too. It slips my mind all of a sudden. Coos, Josephine, and...
Del Norte.
That's right. Well, we got Del Norte lined up.
Yeah.
But so we're working with those counties to get mm-hmm. communications. And, of course, you have to find the right channel. And if you're talking mm-hmm. on a channel that nobody's listening to, you might as well not be listening, you know, right. talking on it. So we're trying to coordinate everything, too.
Absolutely.
It's a big mess right now. It's a big job. And we're trying to get it put together so that we can actually use it.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part.
Absolutely. Community organizing around things, especially when there's a lot of preparing that goes in, can be a challenge because people may not be thinking the pertinence of preparation, right? But there's a lot of preparing that goes into preparing for possible events that could happen. And we are isolated. What happens if we get cut off? For any number of reasons. And
exactly.
It'd just be good for the sustainability of our area.
Well, you know, if you look at it, you go to the San Francisco Ballet and you watch the ballet in San Francisco and it looks absolutely beautiful and effortless,
mm-hmm.
then you realize that that is exactly what you would like to be doing here with your community group.
Mm-hmm.
But how many hours and how many years did it take them to get to the point where they can do Swan Lake without falling on their rear mm-hmm. ends, you know? And that's the same thing we're trying to do. We're trying to do this without falling on our rear ends.
Right.
And it just takes people and time and an understanding. And we're getting a lot of cooperation now from the city of Brookings, and we're getting a lot of cooperation from the EOC in Gold Beach, Don Kendall, Beth Hidalgo. They have been just outstanding in trying to get this stuff put together for us. And we're looking forward to a long-term relationship with those folks.
That's really exciting. I'm Scott Clapson here on KCIW. You are listening to The Community Organizer. I'm here today with Paul Carlin from Pelican Bay Amateur Radio Club. KCIW is a nonprofit. If you enjoy these programs, we ask that you consider making a donation to KCIW. And we look forward. We're going on the air soon, on the actual airwaves, not just on the internet. So we're really thrilled about that. So, Paul, it sounds like there's a lot of opportunities for people to get involved. And you're obviously very passionate. We've had multiple conversations before we started this podcast. Tom Bozak, our tech for the show, was talking with you, and it took us a while to get started because you guys were bonding over radio stuff. And I certainly appreciate that as a community organizer and just the idea of how we communicate. Do you want to tell us why personally that you got involved? You give a lot of time to this, and I see you in this building a lot, not only meeting with people, I see you around the community. I hear your name a lot being involved in PBARC and things like that. Why is this personally so important to you, and how did you get involved yourself?
Well, my real job before I retired, I ran imaging centers in the San Francisco Bay Area, CT and MRI scanners and ended up working at hospitals as a director of operations for several large hospitals in the East Bay. Well, that opportunity gave me an insight into amateur radio, because all the hospitals in the Bay Area are tied together by amateur radio, and they have a net, what's called a communications roundtable. Every Tuesday of the first Tuesday of the month down in the Bay Area, they have a net at the hospitals. They also include the blood supply stations and all those infrastructure that they need to run the hospital. So in case they lose communication, they can talk to the next hospital down the street. And there are a lot more hospitals in the Bay Area than there are here in Curry County. But we're looking at putting radios into hospitals also. Mm-hmm. What started was, it seemed to be a good fit. You know, I had a technical background when I was in the service, working on aircraft, and I worked in radio there. So I went out, and it's a very simple solution. You take the test. There's no code, Morse code anymore for the test, and you can just go in and take a 35-question test and get your amateur radio technician's license. And we do that pretty much every other month here down at the library in Brookings. They also do it in Gold Beach. They do it in Del Norte. There's a lot of opportunities to take the test and become an amateur radio operator. We also have classes after you get your license to show you how to work the radio, how to talk on the radio, how to run different net control stations, how to work on antennas, how to put up an antenna, how to build an antenna. And we've been actually really fortunate to have some really smart people here that have come along in amateur radio and helped us. I was lucky when I was younger, much younger, to have what we call an Elmer. That's what amateur radio calls your mentor. And he was a gentleman by the name of Sid Furman. And he started me going to learn about digital communications using APRS, which is a packet reporting system for the location of your vehicle. So you can actually see it on a computer screen. A fellow by the name of Bob Bruninga built it. And he's still actively involved in it. And he put on a race with police officers. It's a run from Baker, California, through the Mojave Desert to Las Vegas. And years ago, when I was actually doing this race, it's set up as a 120-mile foot race. And the officers run the race the whole way. And so they don't care about the rain, the wind, the sun, any of those things. And LA runs in SWAT gear. So it was really kind of an interesting thing to be part of. And we had to set up 5 repeaters. A repeater is a radio that copies your transmission and sends it over the hill to another station. And we put up 5 repeaters so we could cover the whole 120-mile course. And along with that, we had the digital communications of APRS. And we could watch the vehicles that we were participating with, the Fremont Police Department at the time. And you could watch them run across the desert all the way across 120 miles. So that was kind of fun to do. And we got access to a lot of high hilltops and places that you would never get to go to, like Mount Potosi up at 8,000 feet. We went up there and put up a repeater and drove back home. You know, it was mm-hmm. great fun. Everybody had a great time. And we would go down with 30 or 40 hams from the Bay Area and put these things on. And we ended up with, we had the Alameda County Sheriff's Department, the Fremont Police Department, the FBI of San Francisco, and several other agencies that were involved with us that we put what we call trackers in mm-hmm. so that we could follow them along the race. And most of those teams actually won the race because we could give them intelligence about where the other teams mm-hmm. were. And they helped move people around and get right. people to the right stages and stuff. So that's where I got kind of impassioned about it. It was a lot of fun. You got to meet a lot of people. You got to drive a lot of gear up there because you couldn't buy anything once you're out in the middle of the desert. You had to bring mm-hmm. it with you. So it was a good experience for me to kind of get into emergency services.
Right.
Once I did that, I joined the Aries Group in Fremont. And then from there, I joined ACS, which is the Auxiliary Communication Service for the state of California. And we ended up with Region 2, which has now changed, but it was all the way from Benito County all the way up to Del Norte County. And that's how I found out about Brookings. And we moved here.
Oh, so cool.
That's kind of a brief outline of how I got stuck into amateur radio. But it's a lot of fun. You meet a lot of really nice people, you know, that are kind of got an envision for a vision for what they want to see down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool. The whole concept of group communication is fascinating to me. And just the more people that I'm meeting, my friend Kevin, I think, is a great example. Beth is another example of people that I know other ways in the community through other types of volunteer stuff. They're like, yeah, I'm involved with the radio. And I'm like, you are? And I'm thinking KCIW, right? I'm not thinking that. And then I go, oh yeah, PBARC, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool how many people are being introduced to this and how they can get involved in things like that. So the last Friday of the month at the Chetco Activity Center, you meet downstairs, right?
Downstairs.
So the lower parking lot, right behind Subway, 550 Chetco Lane. I'm sure you could call the Chetco Activity Center if you have questions, right? 541-469-6822. And oftentimes you appear on our monthly activity menu on the backside of our food menu.
Well, that's very, very nice of you. We also have a website.
Okay.
PelicanBayHams.com, I believe is the name.
PelicanBayHams.com, okay.
And you can get on there. And if you do a web search for Pelican Bay Amateur Radio Club, you'll find the website. And it's very informative and it's very well done. We have two members that are just doing an excellent job on the website.
Cool. And are you all on Facebook or social media at all?
We put a Facebook page up. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
And I've heard it's there, but I haven't seen it yet. So that should be a surprise.
Very cool. So look for Pelican Bay Amateur Radio Club online on Facebook and their website. And come and join them here at the Activity Center the last Friday of the month at 6:30. Paul, I really appreciate you. It's really cool to get to know you over the last couple of years of working at the Activity Center and being able to interact with you all. And at some point when I find more volunteer time to cut out of my schedule, I can possibly get involved too. Cause I'm curious, you know, loving communication as much as I do and the way people interact, I'm fascinated by it.
Well, you know, it does take a little bit of time and a little effort, but very little effort and very little time sometimes. But this Activity Center is really the center in my mind. There's two places in Brookings. There's the Activity Center and there's St. Timothy's.
Mm-hmm.
And both those places help support the community. And the community that's here at the Chetco Activity Center are all very welcoming folks. You do the right things for the right reasons for the right people. And it's just a pleasure to be part of your family.
Thank you. We appreciate that. That's a great plug. Thank you. I think that might be a new tagline for us for advertising. Come be a part of the family. I like it. Paul, thank you so much. And hopefully I'll see you soon at a PBARC meeting.
Indeed. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening. I'm Scott Clapson, the community organizer here on KCIW. You have been listening to our conversation today with Paul Carlin from the Pelican Bay Amateur Radio Club. We thank them for all of the wonderful work they do in the community, and thank you to KCIW for making this program possible. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider becoming a founding member. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.